here we go. The most anticipated Real Kipper and Born Leaf Hour edition.
Why?
In our 4 years.
4 years?
Yes.
Well, we've come on after they won a playoff series. It was more anticipated than that.
Buddy, we're taking like callers coming in, not live.
No.
But they're leaving us messages.
Mm-hmm. One thing we know from the messages is it can't be live.
No. No, because Sammy's already getting goofy ones.
Okay.
Right? And I'm not even going to say what, like.
Okay. We don't have to say it.
You've only given us one.
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do with the Leafs.
Okay. Well, right? Depends how you view the Leafs.
Okay, here's what I'll say. Today, I sat down on my couch at my usual time, poured my cup of coffee, and started to work away on the show as I always do. And today was extra special because I spent an hour going through the what must have been 200 messages on our answering machine about the Leafs. And I had some of the most fun I've had as a producer in a really long time. I love Leafs Nation. I love Leafs Nation. And the one thing I'll say is they're not going to make Morgan Rielly a forward. They're not going to make Morgan Rielly a forward.
Wow.
There must have been 10 Morgan Rielly's got to be a forward calls on our text, wow, on our call line.
Really?
We're still working on him as a defenseman.
He's not moving up. He's not playing wing. They're keeping him at D.
I mean, imagine how the problems that creates. All of a sudden, you got to fill and get a top line D.
And for like an okay winger?
Yeah, a guy who probably anyways doesn't forecheck anyway.
So it's not like my answering service where after like 10, it's like shuts everybody down and then you got to go and erase everything. Is that what you got to do now with these goofy messages?
No, it's unlimited, baby.
I can't remember the last time I wasn't offended by someone leaving a voicemail. So
you like on your phone?
I don't have to delete.
I haven't got a call on my answering machine on my phone that is not spam in literally 5 years. Hold on, no one calls me.
Just no. Stick with me for the details. I'm a detail guy.
Okay.
So when someone leaves a new message, uh-huh, does it go to the front of the line or you got to go through all the messages to get to the next one?
It goes to the front of the line. But I went back from the start and listened through. I produced today.
Okay.
But I mean, it's not actually an answer machine. It's an automated system that goes into our. Okay.
I can't wait. And I'm sure all of you that's watching on Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus, or listening on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, you guys can't wait either.
Yeah. Well, and at least it's something else to talk about other than last night's game.
Oh. So,
yeah. That happened too. So we'll talk about that.
All right. So I don't know. How did it go last night with your Bunkus show there?
See, you never ask me.
Yeah.
About the show when we talk. And I was saying this this morning. You never ask me.
I know. I'm asking you
did
now.
Did you watch? Because I think it was our worst show of the year.
No,
for
I did
sure
not watch.
Okay.
I did not
watch.
Did
you watch, get a text about something?
I subscribe
or?
And I see it. No, I'm just wondering, like.
Did like, someone tell you something?
No, nobody told me anything, but.
What's going on here?
If you've got a vibe one way or another, I'd be interested in it because I watched that game last night and I just flush it.
That's funny. That's you rarely feel that way.
Flush it.
Okay.
And the one thing I definitely do not buy is Jordan Staal's like schooled, you know, Matthews, Marner, and Knies.
No.
I don't buy that.
Just
who is this guy?
Tip in.
What's going on?
I don't buy it. But
I've agreed with everything he said so far.
Anyways, that's why I'm like, I'll throw it out there first. That's my general first impression topic coming from my end on a game last night. But I was just wondering about your vibe last night.
I think it's really hard, like them, to get up for every single game. And when you're doing a post-game show after they've won 5 in a row, I think it's really hard to just be like, God, these guys suck.
Right.
The season's meaningless. Like, it's just.
They lose one on the road to a good team after 5 straight. It's like.
I did come away from. If there's one thing I did feel stupid about, it's us, you know, being a little bit critical of the Carolina Hurricanes, where they just look like the Carolina Hurricanes.
But
They look like the exact same team that they've looked like for the last 4 or 5 years.
That's fine. But
which is
in
very,
between every other game for a month and a half, and I don't know, your buddy there.
Who? Nah, don't worry about
you it. You got a few people coming at you.
Yeah, that's my whole life.
But like they've been bad mm-hmm every other game for a month, 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Can't find that level.
They have not looked like that consistently the last little while. So good on them. I mean, it lets you know that there's still some very good talent over there.
Yeah, I think
you're first in the league for a reason.
It was a loose game from the Leafs. I thought defensively, mostly from forwards not having like a solid F3 and then D not having tight gaps, and all of a sudden there's too much room and it's a fast team, and all of a sudden Carolina looks like, you know, the run and gun best Oilers teams of the 80s. So
I will say,
and also they didn't get the goaltending they typically get.
Everyone on that team outside of Brent Burns, Jordan Staal, and Svechnikov, to me, looks like the exact same hockey player.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's like the most analytic team by far, and like they're run by an analytic, and it's just a
perception's related.
It's a very analytical thing to me. Like, it's just like all these guys that played fast, pretty similar, like really quick, pretty good, can score, shoot a ton. I don't know. It feels like analytics in a team to me.
All right, let's get Craig Berube's thought last night coming off a very disappointing 6-3 loss.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, I thought they made a good push, and we had breakdowns in our own zone. I thought that left the slot open too much tonight, didn't cover it. And then, you know, I thought we just spent too much time in our zone in general going forward, especially in the second. I mean, we didn't kill more plays, come up with more pucks, and we didn't. You know, kind of got away from
us. And he got away from us a little bit.
So -6 is a really hard thing to to have.
Matthews, Marner.
Can I read this to you?
Yeah, please.
I think this is phenomenal.
Crazy.
Mitch Marner and Auston Matthews are the first Maple Leafs with -6 rating in a game since Daniel Marois and Mike Bullard on December 26, 1991 versus the Penguins. That game, I have some info on that game for you, which is really fun. The Leafs lost 12-1 to the Pittsburgh Penguins that night. Your boy Grant Fuhrer, Kipper, in net for all 12.
Wow.
.625 save percentage that night for Grant. Yeah. Mario Lemieux had 2 goals and 5 assists for 7 points. What else happened in that game? This is maybe the most incredible fact. Phil Bork, who we've had on this show before, fantastic Penguins analyst, was -1 in a 12-1 game.
I adore that stat.
That's pretty remarkable.
Imagine your team wins 12-1, you're taking your skates off -1 for the night.
Yeah, and on the other side of that, Mike Krushelnitsky, +1. In a 12-1 loss.
Also challenging.
So very impressive.
Yeah, also tough to do.
So really good one there. But yeah, having these guys who had maybe their best game since Matthews has come back against the Flyers go ahead and have their worst game maybe ever.
I think that was the worst game of the year.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. You know.
You thought they were really good against, I thought they were really good against the Flyers. And then as bad as they've maybe ever been.
I just thought a lot, you know, everything that could go wrong does go wrong sometimes. And sometimes, you know, you're out there for an empty netter and one gets tipped in the high slot and, you know, there's a...
Yeah, no, they weren't good last night.
They weren't good. I'm not going to say they're good. They're -6.
They weren't even good at the start. Up 2-0. And it did not have a feel like, okay, can they do... They can't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
Right? They go up 2-0. Carolina gives them breakaways on a platter.
We, by the way, let's pat ourselves on the back for saying... We're going to be sitting here on Monday, and Willie's going to have scored 2 goals in the 2 games since. Goes out there in the first period.
I don't
period.
Think he was very good either.
No, but, well, the right? first 10 minutes, he looked like prime Marcel Dion.
He did, but to my point, they also gave so much in the first 10 minutes, and they spotted them. It's not like the Leafs. It's not like they looked like they looked the rest of the game, and then the Leafs still found ways to score 2 goals. They gifted them 2 goals.
Yeah, okay, I sent a message in our group being like, what are the Hurricanes on a mentor's trip?
Yeah,
they were horrendous for the first 10 minutes of that game, and the Leafs took advantage. They found their game, and it went the other way. So,
but, and they weren't good in their own zone, so they did have breakdowns. I'm when I kind of say flush it down the toilet, I don't believe that, again, I thought Matthews, Marner, and Isaac, they... It wasn't as tilted as -6 suggests. Mm-hmm. I think when they were on the ice, Joseph Wall's save percentage was something like .450.
Yeah.
Like five goals on like 11 shots.
I'll tell you who I thought the best line on the ice was last night, and it was Tavares, Marner, and Knies in the third period.
They generated a ton.
They were all over it. Marner made some passes, like backdoor. He set up JT, who didn't get it up on a play. They had a couple of looks that were like
it was the perfect storm to go -6. Is my point.
It happens. You know? It is crazy though. Like Marner was +5, now he's -1. Or sorry, no, that was Matthews. Matthews is now minus one. Marner's still plus three, but geez.
Yeah, that one changes your season.
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah.
But I tell you what, that Jordan Stahl, how old is he? 36?
100.
36 years old.
Yeah.
Jordan Stahl becomes the third player in Hurricanes Whaler history to score a hat trick at 36 years or older, joining Rod Brind'Amour and Ray Whitney.
If you had to play tomorrow night one game, all the marbles, and I gave you the choice of Tavares, Matthews, or Stahl as a centerman,
oh God,
who would you take?
Austin Matthews.
Okay, yeah. I'm taking Jordan Stahl from last night.
As a top line, one guy, nuts.
That guy is the ultimate 200-foot, playoff kind of guy.
I'm glad you don't cover the Canes. If you watched Jordan Stahl 82 times, you'd be like, this guy's a dog. He can't skate anymore.
He was really good last night.
He's a horse.
He's really good. Hey, what a career he's had.
And last year, I think he finished second in Selke voting, if I'm not mistaken. He was way up there. He is the ultimate. You're right. Two-way.
But all kidding aside, Sebastian Aho's not having a great year. Sveshnikov is not having a great year.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Nakash,
Natchez,
having a good year.
He was on fire, and now he's cooled down the last 15 games.
We have Craig Berube weighing in on the Stahl line dominance in clip six. If we could check in on that, please.
Yeah. Sorry, my bad. Go ahead.
Well, they're a good line. They've been a good line, and they're just hard to play against. They're heavy. They're above you all the time. They make you work for everything, and. They ended up capitalizing us on a couple goals against. So it's difficult, but like I said, we just had too many breakdowns tonight that we got to clean up.
So you think of Jordan Stahl as like this shorthanded goal specialist. He gets one last night. And I'm like, I wonder where he ranks all time in shorthanded goals. So he has 21 shorthanded goals.
21, wow.
Wayne, of course, has 73 shorthanded goals.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does. And Brad Marchand is the active leader with 36 shorthanded goals. Jordan Stahl has 21 to be 74th on the all-time list.
Marchand's off the charts as a penalty killer.
Him and Bergeron were deadly. And this year. You sent us a stat the other day.
The best two in the history of the game shorthanded.
Those two as a duo. No argument for me. This year, is it Braden Point and Anthony Cirelli who are a duo?
Yeah.
They are, when shorthanded, outscoring their opponents 5-4. And they are on, that's their top guys.
Is that impressive?
Imagine that your top two forwards are plus when shorthanded?
Pretty impressive. But yeah, no, I like Jordan Stahl's career a lot, but if I had one game to win, I'm taking Austin Matthews.
Yeah, I would probably suggest that people would.
That's for most people, not you, though.
The Canes. We have one more clip on the Canes. Do we want to hear another thought from Berube on that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. Let's play it.
All right, finish up.
They're a good team. I mean, they're difficult. You know, they work and they compete down low. I thought that started off that way. We were killing plays and we got the puck and went north with it, but too much in our zone tonight and ended up in their net.
Yeah, I mean, nothing shocking.
This is a team that's a bad matchup for the Leafs. This is five straight losses for the Leafs. Thing that you've always talked about, Kipper, with the Leafs is a concern is that the pace of play, their passing isn't great.
No.
And those two things against that team, it's kind of a recipe for disaster. They're all over you.
Is that the best passing team, though? I mean, I just mean
defensively denying the Leafs' ability to pass and, like, kind of stifling them in the offensive zone. Like, they're just really aggressive, fast.
Unbelievable at that.
It's a bad matchup.
Well, listen, their blue line is comparable to some of the best blue lines in the game right now. Vegas, we all believe, is probably got the best blue line in the National Hockey League. Slavin, Burns can still bring it. Orlov, Chatfield.
I love Chatfield.
Yeah, Sean Walker they signed, and he's a pretty good player.
So is Chatfield just like, he's like, if I look like Brent Burns, will I play like Brent Burns? Is that what he's doing? Is he trying to look like Brent Burns out there with
maybe
his beard?
Maybe that's Carolina style.
Yeah. The one thing that stood out for me, like 50 minutes into the game, once they got going a little bit, is the mobility and the quickness, particularly on this Carolina blue line that can take pucks off the wall, put it in the middle, drag it to the middle of the ice, and then have outlet passes or shots on net, or like, and they disguise it, and you don't, you're not sure what what seam or lane they may hit. And the whole time I'm kind of comparing it to the Leaf blue line, and it's like, ooh.
Well, here's the problem,
you know, and
though.
It's a different style, though. Yeah. It's a different style. The Leafs, guys, from here on in, I think to continue this, it's rope-a-dope.
Well, I hope not.
Well, like, I don't see mobility off the blue line, right? Well, I don't see it from Morgan Riley.
You don't think Morgan Riley's mobile?
Buddy, I haven't seen much mobility. I don't see him as a threat. I see him late. I see him late in his own zone to challenge guys below the goal line. I see him late to arrive on a rush. I don't see it.
I think their D skate pretty well. McCabe's a good skater. Tanev gets around fine. You know,
but
like
I don't see the mobility or the puck movement like I see.
But again, I think that is a style choice.
Total style choice.
You know, like
straight lines.
Yep, they want to be different than they've been. You know, the Klingberg options haven't worked for them. So, yeah, I do think this is something that they don't want to be that. They think that's going to lead to risks and in the postseason to chances against. And then it's like, hey, can Kochetkov win them a playoff series?
Stay in your lane. That way, when you lose the puck, you can still block it.
Yep.
That's what I see.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so it is, they're different. They're definitely different in that way. But, yeah, the Canes move it really well. They skate well.
You mentioned McCabe there when you're talking about their skating.
Say it.
They miss him desperately.
So bad.
And I don't think if you have McCabe out there, you're not letting in 4 or 5 goals, whatever, like that happens with him in the lineup. But just the way everybody's slotted, it feels like, Ruben is just searching for anything
they
last night.
They had Riley and Tanev, and then it was like, what else
like,
we got?
For Riley, it's like, you put him with Tanev, and Tanev, did he have his worst game of the year last night?
I don't know, they were all bad.
-2, I think.
Yeah, he was like, you know, he's been a plus player all year. They put him with Riley. No chemistry. He's minus. Svechnikov puts him in the blender behind the net to set up the stall goal in front. Like, it's just not... I tend to agree that they're not the best puck-moving decor, but when they do have McCabe, I think it is a pretty good decor, and I think it's one that you can win with.
Oh, they've won, and they've shut teams down, and they've blocked their shots. But
you know, Timmins,
there's not a ton of creativity back there. Is my biggest point.
That's fair.
And I watched this blue line, and I saw for 50 minutes nothing but paint.
Yeah,
yeah, it's different, you know. But that's playing the scoreboard to me, because I think if the Leafs win that game, you say that decor's all, they're taking risks, they're up the ice, they're too active, you know, so.
Yeah, it's fair, but McCabe, they need him back.
They're going to have to find ways to probably at the end of the day.
Would you think they'll add someone who's more active, mobile?
I don't know if there's time or the ability to.
Mm-hmm. Or the interest?
In a perfect world, I think they'd like to free it up a little bit, and maybe they're just at best you can hope that Morgan Riley gets back to where he was 2 springs ago against Tampa Bay.
Someone tweeted at us the points per game of defensemen over the past like decade, and Riley's of course right up there. So
yeah. Quickly before we move on, like you mentioned about the creativity and the puck moving stuff, I think Timmins early in the year was giving a lot of that to them in terms of being able to snap it out on your third pair and being a bit, but I think he was one of their only even or plus guys last night. So maybe it's the wrong time to pick on him, but the play has gone south a little bit for him, where that's a spot where it's kind of back to maybe looking for somebody else to play that time. But anyways,
I was just going to mention, how about old scratch and score?
Yeah.
Robertson comes out of the press box and shoots it in the net again. It's like clockwork.
I know.
The first game he comes out of the press box.
No issues there.
Yeah.
No issues there.
He's got a scratch. If he's still on the team at the playoffs, which seems somewhat unlikely, but if he is, he's got to sit game 6 and then come back game 7.
Yeah.
That is you have to do that. There's no the Leafs score 1 goal every game 7. Yeah.
He's already down to a desperate game 6 or game 7 for the Leafs.
Robertson in game 7 is where we're at.
You don't think, regardless of who they play in the first round, it's going 7 games? You got to be crazy. I mean, the only time they won was 6.
So. Joseph Woll, his worst game of the year.
Yes. Did you think he was bad?
Yeah.
Yeah. That Jackson Blake goal.
Which is
not great.
come on, it's like, this is the way the hockey gods work. It's not going to be great every game.
No, good players have bad days. I also think this is how sample sizes work. Did you believe that Joseph Woll was the best goalie in the league or one of the five best in the league? Probably not. You might have thought he was good, top 15, something like that. This is the sort of game that brings him back. He's a 912 save percentage now. I think he's a 912 guy. I could see it. But he was never a 925 guy or whatever the numbers were for a while. So it's just coming back to earth a little bit. Now, Sorokin and the Islanders, they played him 300 games in a row. He looks bad. It happens to goalies who play too much.
But he also goes in last night to everyone's point and gets a – was it his shutout against Vegas?
Yeah. No, he right? Sorokin himself was good, but his year's been bad because they've been playing too much.
Play one of the best teams in the – so it happens, right?
It's dumb league.
It just happens.
Yeah. The point is, should they go with Hill to be on
this kind of backs up to Sammy's point. I think Sammy was the only one. I didn't necessarily agree with Sammy, but – you know, is hindsight 2020 here? Should they have had Hillbilly?
Yes. Yes. It's stuck in his brain, and we're going to get it all the time. Now.
Cletus.
The Hill the Beast.
Cletus is a better name.
Cletus.
Should Jeff Robe have played Thursday night?
It's easy to say he should have.
Yeah.
Because he had his worst game of the year. I do think this is something that's going to kind of follow a wall around, no? Where there's worry with the injury. There's worry with the lack of play, and I'm guilty of it. We talked about it a little bit on Leafs Talk last night, but, like, you automatically think, is he tired? Is that why he played like that?
Yeah.
And I think you have to kind of fight
that. Tired.
Well, I mean.
I know he's played 11 out of 14, I think.
He's played 5 times in 10 days.
Okay, but he's also on pace to play 40 games this season. So in the big picture, he's not tired. What he is last
Kipper,
night.
Kipper, he's four off his career high for starts.
To my point, what he is now is mentally stretched in a stretch that he's got no experience in the past on.
Yeah, and this is where you get it. But I still think if you're set to run a mile, if you run 100 meters in the middle of it sprinting, you're going to be tired after that sprint, you know,
unless,
just because the whole thing's not that
you,
hard.
You know, everybody's telling you just run a mile, but you're like, no, I can run 2, I can run 4, I'll run 10. Don't be that guy that says, okay, you tell me you're going to run a mile, I'll just run a mile.
Yeah.
That guy has an amazing opportunity right now, mm-hmm. and he should be feeling like, I don't want to come out.
Yeah.
So I just think that it's a new experience for him, and it's a stretch that he's never had before, and now it's just managing it for him learning how to manage it.
Yeah, he was borderline abrasive at the idea that, like, you know, he didn't play well. He said, yeah, I didn't play well, and what do you want me to do?
And I love he has come back tomorrow against a hungry Vancouver Canuck team that's got the
played pretty good against Washington.
Us against the world mentality coming in.
Their Super Bowl, Vancouver Super Bowl playing against the Leafs.
You're going to get a good Canucks performance.
So that's
they played tonight in Carolina, second half of back to back tomorrow night.
Pretty close feeling of losing game one in the Stanley Cup playoffs and needing to come back 48 hours later and tying up the series. That's what Wall should be feeling Saturday night.
Well. Go ahead.
I do think you have to go with him. Let's hear the coach.
Yeah.
Clip 4 on Wall.
Well, he probably wants him back. You know? But he's played some real good hockey for us. He made some real good saves tonight, too. So, you know, that's. I'm sure he wants a couple goals back. But, you know, he's been battling for us and playing well.
Yeah, how do you think he's handled the increased workload?
Well, I think he's been fine with it. You know, I don't see him getting tired or anything like that. He wants the net. So he's done a good job.
Good stuff. I think we get to break and get to our calls.
Oh, okay. No.
You have more?
We got a little bit of time here.
Yeah. I think we got something else?
Yeah, Willie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Willie.
Anything changed for you since yesterday?
No, I think he still picks his spots a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you can sit there and blame 5 forwards on the shorthanded goal, but that had nothing to do with the fact that I think he should have played it a lot harder.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still got a long way to go to get to the place where he needs to get and the team needs him to get.
For sure. There's no doubt. I will say I really like their power play like that. I think that's the best version of their power play. You want Marner to have more touches, right?
Yes.
You think the puck should be in his hand, and he is when he quarterbacks the five forwards.
Yeah.
I like Matthews more on his offside because he doesn't hit the one-timer for goals anyway. He can catch and release better than anyone in the NHL, I think.
Yeah.
Probably the best in the league. And I think he sees the ice better kind of facing it.
Yeah.
And Willie's fine on the other flank. He, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I just like it more.
So I hate that I agree because it, like I've said a million times, it offends my hockey sensibilities.
Yeah.
But it is the best.
With what they got.
I don't know what else you would.
And I also want to throw up the, you know, other power plays get scored on too. Even when you have a D-man out there, you give up a shorty, it happens.
Especially Jordan Staal, the 74th highest shorthanded scorer of all time.
Yes, 74th highest.
It just
tied with Peugeot.
It needs a lot of work. It just needs a lot of work, the power play.
It does.
There's nothing desperate about the push to score a goal on it.
I wish analytics gave us time on stick for players, like how long one player holds the puck for. I feel like the average time on stick for the Leafs is 2 seconds more than a good power play. Everyone holds it, dusts it, moves it. Hold it, dusts it, moves it.
That's interesting.
Not a lot of touch.
I want to get the analytics on how many faceoffs they've lost on the power play.
That I can do for you.
Yeah.
I can get that.
Compared to even strength for me. I'm just curious because it always looks like when they need a face-off win, it's shot down the ice and there's only a buck 40 on it left.
Just punting 20 seconds of every power play up.
Yeah. I don't know. It just feels, I've said this before, and my argument for the two unit split up thing, there's just such a crippling lack of urgency every time those guys are out there, because if it's five forwards, the five best players on the ice, they know that the coach is putting them together to have them out there for a minute 50. Mm-hmm. So they're like, we can dust it off. We can do whatever we want. Creating the internal competition of splitting up the talent amongst the two units to me. And they've tried that. So I don't know if they go back to that again, but there just is zero urgency and they are allergic to a hard rim one time when they get held up at the line.
That I would like to see. A different entry. Let's listen to Berube, because we do have a clip on the shorthanded goal and the five forward power play. Clip three.
I mean, that was the, I think it was, we could have defended it, to be honest with you. I think that, you know, we actually tracked back. We've got to be harder there in the neutral zone on that play. And, you know, the guy's on his back end. We just got to take away the pass. That's it. I mean, yeah, there's always going to be concerns with five forwards on the power play at times. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But I like the power play in general. I mean, they got us a goal, had some good looks on the next one. So they did some real good things. But we just got to clean up the mistakes. Just, you know, too loose.
I mean,
too loose.
That's basically everything we just said. So
we'll give credit to Kochetkov,
yeah.
I have a hard time with names recently. I'm going full grapes over here. But I thought he was really good in the third.
Yeah, he was.
I thought he made a couple excellent saves. He stoned Robertson really close in on the blocker on Marner through a screen that he didn't see. Like, there's a couple really good ones that could have changed the game. I thought he was really good.
Yeah, there's
a wild man, though.
Yeah, he's
saying that,
a menace.
I wouldn't trust him as far as I could bowl him.
Couldn't agree more. Like, yeah. I would hate to have him as your goalie for a playoff series, but last night I thought he made a bunch of really good saves, specifically in the third
and
period.
And your buddy Freddie Anderson's getting ready to come back again, I hear.
Well, yeah, what did he say, week 7 of an 8-12 week injury. So.
Hey, you talk about not being sure if you're going to have a guy when you need him most.
He might be the leader of that.
So far, yep.
Okay, we'll take a quick break.
You nervous? I can never really figure out your energy some days when you come in here. And, you know, there's just, you're a different guy day to day, which is totally fine.
On purpose.
I know.
Keep everyone on their toes.
I can tell sometimes when you're a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
And I think you're a little bit nervous about this. You've been pushing for this for a while. This is one of Kipper's ideas.
Like I said, you gave us one message that you got, and it was disgusting.
You think I'm gonna play something about taking a dump in the shower? You think I'm going to play that on the air? I'm not. So we got good ones.
I pushed for it.
We got a lot.
They wouldn't let us play it.
All right. What are we calling it?
The Leafs line, baby.
There's no 416-431-4141.
We'll do it again next week.
The Leafs.
Assuming this is not a disaster.
Line coming up next.
Gonna be.
When we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Blake Murphy.
And I'm Matt Bonner.
Join us weekday mornings at 11 as we break down all things Toronto Raptors.
It's the Raptor Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kypreos, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake Schultz. Upstairs, pushing all the right buttons for us. What did Derek just say to us?
The party line.
Time to pick up the party line.
The party line.
So
1-800.
I just put all these in here, caller one, caller two, caller three, caller four. I don't exactly remember the order I put them in, but I do remember our first one. And yeah, let's start.
My favorite thing is that this requires no research and we just get to react.
So let's start, okay?
Okay, let's let it rip.
Caller one.
Hi, Sammy McKee. I watch Kipper and Bourne every day. Yes, I'm a female. I'm a total Edmonton Oilers hockey freak. Question, why is it that you guys always talk about the Leafs? I know you're a Leaf fan. Don't get me wrong there. But I was just wondering, yeah, you guys talk about other teams too, but is this kind of pretty much just a Leaf? Fine. Can you let me know, please? And hey, you guys are awesome. Love you guys. Kipper, gotta love him. Form, gotta love him. You're a pretty funny guy. Love you guys. All the best in 25. My name is Yvonne, and I'm an Edmonton Oilers fan. Yay!
Yeah, was great. Great observation.
in the Leafs line. That was perfect.
Was that you?
That was seriously perfect. What an incredible call.
I thought we'd start off hot.
I do.
With my girl Yvonne.
I do feel bad that we're doing this as not a NHL line now.
Okay, so can I take a crack at this?
It's yeah.
Real simple. First hour, Leaf hour.
Yeah.
Second hour, NHL. We rarely talk Leafs in our national hour. We
try to avoid it.
You know what's funny is that when we did this show on TV, we were petrified at the fact of not talking Leafs in the second hour. And now I'm like, thank God I don't have to do Leafs in 2 hours.
So I'll tell you how, like, I get mad at Sammy when he doesn't change the jersey.
It is a daily fight.
So we have the Leaf jersey for our Leaf hour. And I'm like, now I'm in our national second hour. 20 minutes in, I look over, I still see the Leaf jersey, and I want to just kill you. I do. I do. I'm like,
we're trying to appeal to all audiences.
Want
to
just go, okay, there's people in Calgary, Winnipeg,
So for
Vancouver watching. They don't want to see a Leaf jersey.
For my girl
they
Yvonne.
They hate us because they ain't us.
Also true.
I'll make sure to get an Oilers jersey. Oh, wait, we don't have one. All right.
Oilers
will send us one.
Come on, Oilers. Like,
you got the best team in the league, isn't that
enough? Calgary Flames send us one.
And you're like, aren't you buds with Lozy or like McTat? Like, get them to send us a jersey.
Why are you so pissy?
Or take that unlimited Sportsnet budget and go buy
Do you know how embarrassing it is to be a Stanley Cup champion, 20-year veteran of the media, and call one of your friends who's a Hall of Famer and be like, could you send us a jersey? Could you got $200 to buy.
He's only won 6 cups.
Yeah. He's got bigger fish to fry than sending us a jersey.
I can bring an Oiler jersey in, but I just know I won't get it back. It'll disappear.
Oh, no. It'll be gone.
Well, this one's signed by Connor McDavid.
Okay, don't bring that in. All right. Caller two, please, guys.
All right.
Here's my main take. Kipper, he's got to drop the act on how he thinks Marner is more important than Austin Matthews. We know everything about you, Kipper. We know how tough you are. We know how you like the big 6'2" guy. You drop the charade. You don't like Marner better. It's not even close. It's comparing a superstar, the best player we've ever had. I'm going to say the best player in the league. I know McDavid exists. I said what I said. Marner's not even close. Marner is a good player. Matthews is the best player. But you guys are the best. This is the best show, radio show I've ever heard talk about the Leafs. It's not even close. Keep doing what you're doing. And I hope to make it onto the show.
I'm evolving.
Hell yeah.
So that was you.
Drop the charade, Kipper.
No, that was me.
Drop the charade. Important players, both of them.
I love the Leafs line so much. How have we never done this before?
Just feel that as far as Marner's concerned, I will always feel like he's undervalued or underestimated on the importance of him on this hockey club. And that's it. That's it. When it comes to...
Is part of it that you feel like it's you know, you're advocating for someone underappreciated and maybe it's closer than people think?
It is closer than people think.
I do think it's closer than people think.
I would agree with that.
You know,
especially this season.
The guys that I've played or watched over my lifetime around the game, there's good players, there's great players, and then there's players that find a way to make you better, right? Not the other way around.
Yep.
And Marner's that type of guy. He will make you better. Austin shoots it in the net. He's the finisher. He's not really making anybody better.
Mm. That's just such a crazy thing to say.
Yeah.
Not
to that extent.
Yeah.
Not to that extent.
Marner's one of the premier playmakers in the league.
I've gone back to you on this many times. Prototypical centermen, number one centermen. You got to facilitate and move the puck and pass the puck.
I think you
Leafs
are, and this
are
is good for us
a
to.
A good passing team.
I think you are not just inaccurate with your criticism of Matthews. I think you're wrong about it. You know, like I think this is, we are witnessing the prime of one of the NHL's greatest goal scorers.
Yes, yes.
And we come in here
like
every
Ovechkin,
day
like
and
Ovechkin.
Kill him for something new.
No, we're
every
not
day.
Killing him. We're not
we
killing
do
him.
Not agree.
But I don't think there's any day you've come in here and been like, that guy's special.
I believe he's a special goal scorer, but he's not a special, like, complete player.
Yeah. Here's what I think is tough for Leafs Nation.
I want him to be like Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
Well, he's not Connor McDavid. Well, I said he was, like, multiple times,
well, then
but he's
he should
not.
Be very close.
I think what's hard for people with Mitch Marner is that in Toronto, we want to do hyperbole. Hmm. Everyone's the greatest or they suck.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's, you can't, whatever. Hey, and Marner's guys. Like the 15th best player in the league. And that's fine if you have a different opinion of that. You know, in that range to me, 15th, whatever it is. And it's really hard for people to be like, just, he's excellent. Because some people want to be like.
But he's not power. He's going to find different ways to beat you, but it's just not the power one.
Right.
And
you can't handle the truth.
Which is something during the playoffs is what happens.
And they've all been shut down in the playoffs.
Yes. Yeah. Except right? people all think Willie's Clark Gillies for some reason because he scored two more goals than all of them. But anyways.
Yeah.
Right. Got another call? Another call. Call three, please.
Hey, guys. I love the show. Steve from Watford, Ontario here. What I want to know, as three Leaf fans, you guys be content with the Leafs making the conference final and losing respectively in six or seven games? I know it's not a cup. I know it's not a cup final, but let's be realistic here. Would winning two rounds keep Leafland from starting riots in the GTA? Again, love the show. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
And we're the three best friends that anybody
great
can
question.
Have. We're
great question. Here's my answer.
The Leafland.
Yes.
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 Unequivocally.
Yes.
Like not even a hesitation. Okay. Yes.
You know,
we're looking at a month and a half compared to 2 weeks.
The energy in this city, if they're in the conference final, if they're going to
game six,
they won two games in the conference final. Like there's Maple Leaf Square is Maple Leaf downtown at that point. Like we would get to experience the energy and the belief.
Yep.
And I think that's the saddest part about their failures to this point is not just not winning. It's just not getting to have the memories that you get on the way of the run.
Can I tell you like how sad it is, how much I enjoy those first round moments? Like I think back of those, like they're these all time moments. It's like, the Oilers have that every year.
Like
it's
the
other teams.
We were talking about the Kerfoot OT
tip-in.
Like,
oh, my
you're
God,
like
what
telling
a moment.
Telling me what happened before.
I remember
it.
Every single thing. And it's like, every other good team does that every year.
How about Sheldon Keefe's reaction?
Oh,
or
my
Kyle
God. They won the cup.
Dubas' reaction.
Like they won the cup.
With Tavares.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the on-ice one was fine. Like they did, like, I mean, all, whenever they do it, whatever they do.
Whatever it is, it's natural.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, it's like, but it's a sense
shows
of.
Shows you.
It's pressed up against all those disappointing years.
That's what it was, right? But what's so hard is they had home ice, and then they went down 2-0 in home ice, and you knew it was over. Would they not? Florida was an 8 seed that
year.
Oh,
yeah, right. Yeah.
So you knew, going back to Florida, it was over. And so you didn't even get to enjoy that round for 9 seconds.
They went down 3-0, and they won game four, and then came back here and lost.
But there, it just,
Nick Cousins down the left wing.
It sucked the air out of the balloon before the city got to really – be a part of it.
What do we do now?
So we are all in agreement.
The bar is low here, apparently.
We'll just take...
The goalposts have moved.
We'll take anything past 30 days.
Yeah. Call 4?
Hi, my name is Gail. I have a question. I just wondered if anybody's got any thoughts on why Connor Dewar is never brought up on a higher line. He's always on the fourth line. I think he's a digger. He's a good, solid player. I just think they should try him on one of the at least third line, sometimes maybe the second line. Just wondered what your thoughts were on that. Thank you.
As a standing member of the Dudes,
yes.
One of the very big members of that community, I had to play my girl Gail's call.
Allow me to make the case.
Yes.
He's 24 years old, mm-hmm. and last season, when they got him for halfway through the year, deadline or whatever, he scored 11 times as a 24-year-old. Mm. In that year, he had off-season shoulder surgery to repair a torn labrum. Like, you believe a guy like that is on the up,
mm-hmm.
and this surgery holds you back a little bit. It's possible there's more from this guy, and he's maybe starting to find it a bit. He's looked good lately.
If there's any scenario out there, is it Gail?
Gail.
Gail, if there's any scenario out there where someone's hurt and you could, and if he was to fill in, he wouldn't necessarily look like he's out of place.
Like him or Robertson on the third line.
He may not score, but he would not look bad in any way, shape, or form. The problem is right now, who are you going to take out of their top nine to move him up anywhere past? No.
Okay.
No, you're not.
Okay.
You're not. Look at Robertson, the way he can shoot a puck in the net.
Scratch and score.
Okay. Connor cannot do what Nick Robertson can do offensively. So outside of that, it's not Bobby McMahon. It's not Willie. It's like who?
You know where it is?
There's no room for him to move up.
And I'm not saying they should move him, but I'm saying it's on a different team. If he's on Anaheim he's on, like there, he could play in those spots, but this is a team with Stanley Cup aspirations.
If Max gets hurt, could he go play middle between Robertson and Lorenz?
Couple games.
Maybe. But he could fill in.
Yeah.
I was watching the state-controlled media on YouTube the other day, the Leaf or whatever they have there.
I got to watch that.
It's just like a little juice. They just put a little clip up or whatever, and they do like the belt thing every game, and Morgan Riley lost the belt, apparently. Like they couldn't find the belt, and he was going to give it to Connor Dewar.
That's bad.
Anyways.
That's bad omen.
He said he didn't give it to Connor Dewar, but he mentioned it. I don't know. He couldn't find it. They couldn't find it.
A leather belt instead.
Anyways.
It's in a hockey bag buried.
Somebody yelled from across the room at Connor Dewar and called him a nail gun. And I was like, there's no better compliment in hockey than being called a nail gun.
Oh, he's
if you are a nail gun, you are a small, gritty guy that fights and hammers people.
Quick, effective.
Yeah. Nail gun is an incredible nickname. So I think it might have been Martyr. Anyway.
All right. The fight in Philly, buddy.
That can change. Opened my eyes.
Hey, he threw some.
Those little tiny moments. I had a few of them over my career. There's like, people look at you differently.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, okay.
Yeah, you can have a moment where it's like,
just so you know, I'm here.
We Felix Bod Van fighting Hextall. There's a how I feel about you moment.
Right.
Somebody just tweeted me, Ryan tweeted me, said that was Dewar's mom for sure.
That was Gail Dewar from the Paw.
Kids these days.
Call 6, I think, maybe? Whatever, 5, call 5.
Hey, Sammy, Wayne calling from Thornhill. So, why is there not enough talk about Sidney Crosby? We all know we need a center. He should want to leave there, don't you think?
Yep.
And if so, he should be here. And if he is here, what do we got to give up? Is it an Easton Cowan? No problem. I watched them in the juniors. No problem. We have to give up Fraser Minton, too? If we have to give up both of them to get Crosby, would we do it? I think I would, because I think that's your best chance to win a cup. Feel free to discuss. Thank you. You guys do a great job. Bye.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
I would trade Sammy for Crosby. You can go work for Pittsburgh.
Yeah. That's my nightmare. Yeah. Go follow Kyle Dubas' Penguins without Sid.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah,
this,
what do you got, Kip?
What I got is... any type of talk like this would have happened before he signed his extension this past summer.
What if they were in 14th or 15th?
No, again, every scenario would have been covered. Mm-hmm. Now, if you think that they might have had a conversation of, let's sign you here, we'll start here. If it gets ugly, we'll ship you out.
Yeah, so if it's already established.
If it's already established. But the Sid I know... wouldn't have had a conversation with the Pittsburgh Penguins saying, listen, why don't we start? If we suck, I'll bail on you and I'll bail on my teammates and I'll go to Colorado or I'll go to the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
That's not Sid Crosby.
Yep. He didn't take 8.7 instead of 13 to help out some other team's salary cap.
Correct.
That was not his plan.
So, unfortunately, that ship sailed on Sid going anywhere.
Sid with 50% retention. Would you trade all of the Leafs players for him?
Maybe. Let's do another call. Let's bang through these. I don't know, call six or five.
Hey, Sammy. This is Mike. I listen to the show every day from England. You guys really keep me up to date with everything going on at the Leafs. So thanks for that. My question is, do you ever think the Leafs will play a game in England? I know they've been out to Sweden, but it'd be great to have the Leafs a bit closer to home for me. So let me know what you guys think.
Well, good question.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Well, they went out there. They went out there for like exhibition or training
camp. I mean, they've been in Prague and Helsinki, and they're all over Europe. I mean,
going to London in September would be great if you're a professional hockey player. London's the best city in the world.
There's a lot of talk about outdoor games, Wembley.
Wembley.
There's that sort of conversations.
There's a €1,000 ticket right there.
Another call?
Yeah. Let's get it in.
Okay.
But yes, I think it'll happen.
Okay. Call whatever we're on. Oh, maybe not.
Eight? Seven?
Play one?
Hey, Sammy.
Sammy. It's Joe from Cornwall. Just wondering what your reaction will be when the Bruins go in the tank, because I'm a Bruins fan, and the Leafs go after Brad Marchand. Will you wear a Leafs Brad Marchand jersey on the show? That is my question.
I can answer this in advance. Yes.
The most unequivocal yes of all time.
You'll wear it with the name bar on the front somehow.
There is no yes. And this actually kind of works out perfectly because we're going to talk about this in the National Hour, but
yeah,
yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because and good Canadian scrap.
If you want to talk about trading Cowan, trading whatever, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Put them in the sack and mail them.
I sign it up. I'll drive them to the airport. Yeah. Yes.
Do it.
Odds?
Zero.
We now consult our odds expert.
Just go back to my earlier conversation about Crosby and substitute Marchand's name in there. Mm. It's like, I don't think it's going to happen, but you can dream.
Maybe once Pasta gives him the boot from all their drama, we're going to get to that in the next hour.
I think caller, could you play caller 12, Derek? I think that's one that I wanted to get in.
Yeah, Sammy, Wayne here. Nylander, I've watched hockey for 65 years. I'm an old man. Nylander's as good as I've ever seen in 65 years of watching NHL hockey. By the way, I see Barney's wearing a hat from Pinehurst, suggesting that he's played the course. I'm surprised that his old lady let him out of the house long enough to get 18 holes in. That's it, bro. That's all I got for you today, buddy. But I think this is a great idea. Catch you later. Bye-bye.
Oh, my God.
What a random chirp.
The Leaf line rocks.
I just took an absolute stray for no reason.
Your wife's not listening today.
Listen, you don't think she's in charge? She knows the rules.
Quickly, maybe 11? I had one that I really wanted to play.
Brian,
it's
Scott Roy.
Nah,
NHL... A few things, Kipper.
Yes.
If Sammy brings up golf or baseball, especially baseball one more time, let's fine him $50 each time he brings up baseball. He talks about that silly sport. And why don't we trade Morgan Riley? God love him. But trade Riley for Pettersson. We could use another center. Thanks, Kipper. Thanks, Bourne. Sammy, no more golf. No more baseball. That's enough.
You know what? This is actually brings up an idea. Like, you guys did like a kangaroo court with your NHL teams, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Guys get little fines, whatever.
Yeah.
We could have like a monthly court on here for, you know, you calling Hill to be hillbilly or Sammy talking about God knows
what. Team Canada crying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could just a couple of bucks. We could judge it.
All right. We'll work on the rules.
More working
on
golf.
But it got your feet wet so you could make it to the big leagues up here with me and JB.
Big time.
Right? Golf and baseball.
I will say, Leaf line rocks.
That was really good.
10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Oh, hot start.
I'm pumped.
Did you hire actors for all of that?
No.
Those were real?
Yes. We got 1,000 more that are just as good. I couldn't get them all.
Oh, thanks, everyone. Goodness. Appreciate it.
Yes. We love you calling in. That was awesome. Okay, we're back national. Plenty to get into. Don't go away. Real Kipper and Bourne.